Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Tuesday, April 21st, 2026, and you are listening to episode number 372. As always, we are looking back at the biggest stories that dominated the front page yesterday, April 20th.
We have a really packed show for you today. We're covering the end of an era at Apple, a massive regulatory shift for smartphones in the EU, the dark underbelly of GitHub Stars, and two major AI model releases that have the community completely rethinking the state of open source AI.
Let us start with the biggest corporate news of the year. After 15 years at the helm, Tim Cook is stepping down as Apple CEO this September to become executive chairman. John Ternus, who has been the senior vice president of hardware engineering, is officially taking over as the new CEO. This post absolutely blew up on Hacker News, pulling in nearly 1,400 points.
It is a huge transition. Tim Cook took Apple from a $350 billion market cap to over $4 trillion. He built the wearables category, pushed services to the moon, and navigated the transition to Apple Silicon. But the Hacker News comments were really focused on what John Ternus brings to the table as a hardware engineer and what that means for the future of Apple software.
Exactly. A user named Tyrubius hit the nail on the head, saying that Cook's background in logistics built Apple into a global hegemon, but they're hoping Ternus can kick off a renaissance in both hardware and software design. The general consensus in the thread was that Apple hardware is currently amazing, but the software has been suffering from 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah, user Bayandir H pointed out that they have been using macOS and Linux for 20 years, and macOS used to be the snappier, more stable option. Now they feel it has nasty thorns here and there, while Linux just keeps steadily improving. People in the thread were practically begging for another Snow Leopard release, just a pure optimization and bug fix cycle.
There was also a really interesting debate about Apple's security features versus user freedom. Some older users reminisced about the early days of OS X, when it was basically a beautiful Unix machine. Now, features like System Integrity Protection, or SIP, make it harder for power users to run certain developer tools. But another user named Luke countered that SIP is the right trade-off for 99% of consumers, and as developers, we sometimes forget that.
I also laughed at the comments about the iCloud sync rain dance. User Stephen Huey mentioned how uninformative the Photos app on Mac can be when it flakes out, and you just have to pray and click around to get it to sync with your iPhone. It is those little friction points that people are really hoping a new engineering-focused CEO will finally iron out.
Speaking of hardware engineering, our next story is going to give John Ternus and the rest of the smartphone industry a massive headache. The European Union has officially mandated that all phones and tablets sold in the EU must have replaceable batteries, starting in February 2027. This got over 1,000 points yesterday.
This is a huge deal. The regulation states that batteries must be removable without any specialized tools, or if tools are required, they have to be provided free of charge in the box. The goal is to slash electronic waste, which currently sits at around 5 million tons a year in the EU.
The Hacker News thread on this was a fascinating mix of nostalgia and engineering realism. A user named Rivey brought up how great it is with digital cameras, where you can just carry two batteries and swap them instantly from 0 to 100% charge, instead of walking around with a clunky USB power bank hanging off your phone.
But then you have the engineering trade-offs, which user King Machiavelli detailed perfectly. They pointed out that swappable batteries were a feature back when batteries used to suck. Today, phone batteries have incredibly high power density, fast charging, and tight space constraints. If you force a manufacturer to use a durable battery connector and a removable backplate, you are sacrificing physical space. A phone that could fit a 5,000 milliamp hour glued battery might only fit a 4,500 milliamp hour removable one.
Right, and another user named BKO pointed out that the market is highly competitive. If consumers truly preferred thicker phones with replaceable batteries over sleek, water-resistant phones, some manufacturer would have built a billion-dollar business on it by now. But everyone independently came to the conclusion that the trade-off was not worth it. So now the EU is stepping in to force the issue for environmental reasons.
It really reminds me of the emission standards in the auto industry. One commenter noted that regulations do not necessarily kill innovation, they just redirect it. Car manufacturers had to invent lighter materials and better injection systems to meet fuel standards. Now, phone engineers are going to have to figure out how to make a sleek, water-resistant phone that can still pop open to swap a battery.
It is going to be fascinating to see the iPhone 19 or whatever comes out in 2027.
Moving from hardware to software infrastructure, our third story is a wild investigation into the shadow economy of GitHub. An article from Awesome Agents highlighted a peer review study from Carnegie Mellon University that found 6 million fake stars across over 18,000 repositories on GitHub.
This is classic Goodhart's Law in action. When a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. GitHub stars used to be just a bookmarking tool, but venture capitalists started using them as a signal for traction. The article notes that VC firms run automated scrapers to find fast-growing repos, and some firms expect a median star count of around 2,800 for a seed round.
And where there is VC money, there is a block market. You can buy a GitHub star for as little as 6 cents on Telegram channels or Fiverr. If a few hundred dollars in fake stars can unlock a $5 million seed round, the math is dangerously obvious. The study found that AI and large language model repositories were actually the largest non-malicious category buying these fake stars, trying to stand out in a crowded market.
The Hacker News comments were surprisingly pragmatic about this. User What Is This Even said they never use stars to make a decision about a library. Instead, they look at the last commit date, the issue tracker to see how the maintainers handle bugs, and they actually read the code.
But let us be real, not everyone has time for that. User BSUVC admitted that stars are just a heuristic that saves time. If one library has 1,000 stars and another has 15, you default to the 1,000. The problem is, as user Biggian pointed out, once a repo hits 10,000 stars, whether fake or real, it becomes a massive target for supply chain attacks.
Exactly. If a maintainer is willing to commit fraud to get VC funding, do you really want their code running in your production environment? The Federal Trade Commission actually banned fake social influence metrics recently, with penalties of over $50,000 per violation. So we might start seeing the government crack down on startup founders who fake their GitHub traction.
It is definitely a space to watch. Now, let us pivot to the AI world, because yesterday was a massive day for open source models. We had two major releases trending on Hacker News. First up was KimiK 2.6, a new open source model from the Chinese AI lab Moonshot.
This post got over 600 points, and the focus of KimiK 2.6 is what they call long-horizon coding and agent swarm capabilities. They essentially gave the model access to complex, multi-step engineering tasks. In one example, the model autonomously overhauled an 8-year-old open-source financial matching engine, running over 1,000 tool calls over 13 hours, and actually improved the throughput by 185%.
13 hours of continuous execution without hallucinating or losing context is wild. But my absolute favorite part of this thread was the community testing. Simon Willison, who is a legend in the HN community, has this ongoing visual benchmark where he asks models to generate an SVG image of a pelican riding a bicycle.
Yes, I saw that. It is such a great, weird test because it is not in the standard training data. You really see if the model understands spatial reasoning and code generation simultaneously.
Exactly. And someone ran KimiK 2.6 through this prompt. And not only did it draw a mathematically perfect SVG of a pelican on a bike, but it actually wrapped the SVG in HTML and added interactive slider controls to animate the speed of the bicycle wheels and the flopping of the wings.
That is incredible. A user named Flying Snake joked that drawing pelicans must be in the training datasets by now, but it really shows how far these models have come in understanding intent and going above and beyond the prompt.
It really does. And right alongside Kimi, we had our fifth story, which is the release of QN 3.6 Max Preview. This is from Alibaba Cloud, and it pulled in nearly 600 points as well.
Having Kimi and Quen drop on the exact same day really highlights the incredible velocity coming out of the Chinese AI ecosystem right now. But the Hacker News discussion on the Quen thread took a really interesting philosophical turn about how we even evaluate these models anymore.
Yeah, user Alex70 kicked off a great discussion, saying they find it funny how people argue over which model is state of the art. They pointed out that they use different models for different tasks, and sometimes an open source model will crush a task that Claude Opus completely fails at.
User Mike New agreed, saying that the benchmark for what is best has become completely subjective. It used to be that GPT-4 or Claude Opus were objectively better at everything. Now the baseline is so high that it really comes down to your specific domain, your prompting style, and your workflow.
The workflow aspect is huge.
there was a long subthread about agent harnesses. People are debating whether to use Claude Code or third-party tools like Pi.dev or Cursor. User Embedding Shape pointed out that if your AI agent does not have simple tools like write file or shell execute, you are not really experiencing what the model can do.
Though I have to say, the idea of giving an autonomous AI direct shell execution access to your machine still terrifies some people. User No Duerme joked about giving an AI command line access to your work computer, and user DWimk chimed in saying you have to do it in a virtual machine. But honestly, half the developers on Hacker News seem to just be running these agents natively and hoping for the best.
Living on the edge. But it shows that the bottleneck is no longer just the intelligence of the model, it is the tooling around it. Whether it is Kimi optimizing an engine for 13 hours or Quen building a full stack application, the open source community is figuring out how to harness this power locally, and it is moving at breakneck speed.
It really is. And that brings us to the end of today's show. From leadership changes at Apple to replaceable batteries, fake GitHub stars, and the relentless march of open source AI, it was a massive day on Hacker News.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 372. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or leave us a review. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and best comments from the Hacker News front page.
Until then, keep hacking, and we will see you tomorrow.